Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Large Old Cup. My name is Corey, and you're here with me now. It's episode 23 of the show, and last week I talked about sort of my dislike of gamifying art and gamifying things that you should be enjoying, essentially. And the week before that, I did an episode on sort of the retrospective of David Lynch in regards to his passing. So this week, I kind of wanted to talk about somebody who's incredibly important to me before they pass. Because memorial episodes are bumming. They're not fun. So this is an episode to basically talk up how much the man Henry Rollins means to me. So much to the point that my opening, where I say my name is Corey and you're here with me now, that is actually from a Black Flag song called "Damaged," which is this sort of sludging, brutal, punishing song about sort of the difficulties of life. And it starts, of course, with Henry saying, "My name is Henry, and you're here with me now." So, fun fact for you, if you've been listening this whole time and had ever been curious about where that came from. Henry Rollins is as that last story would suggest, a former punk rock slash hardcore frontman. He is also a actor and a writer, a radio host, interviewer, a journalist, photographer, spoken word artist, and avid journalist, world traveler, meathead. So as I once saw him in a bio referred to as the post-punk renaissance man. And I'll get into a little bit of that, but first I'll get into sort of how I came across Henry. I was probably 5 years old, maybe 6 years old, when I saw a movie that was absolutely fucking dreadful called The Chase. It starred Charlie Sheen. And in it, Charlie Sheen plays this guy who ends up taking this woman hostage. And the whole movie is this sort of high-speed car chase with him and this woman getting to know each other and, falling for one another while he's evading the police. One of the police officers is Henry Rollins. And there was something about this dude who's playing a cop that I just was drawn to. Maybe it was the way he didn't seem like he should be a cop, that kind of thing. And then, of course, I would see him throughout the 90s, as most people did. Henry Rollins just turned up in tons of places. I think he like would host occasional episodes of MTV's 120 Minutes, which was like a music video show that usually focused on alternative music. So Henry was usually frequently on that, and other little odds and end movies that he would appear in. I mean, he was in Heat with Al Pacino. He was in Johnny Mnemonic with Keanu Reeves. These sort of small parts that kind of came and went. And I saw one of Henry's spoken word shows, where he calls them talking shows, and it's sort of like where I got my definition of what spoken word is from Henry's talking shows. So a Henry Rollins show now is you go see him on a stage with just a microphone. I don't even think Henry has a bottle of water with him. And Henry just tells stories, stuff that's happened to him, things he's thinking about. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not. And if you listen to last week's show and you're picking up that this is exactly how I describe my interpretation of spoken word, there you go. I was drawn to Henry as a storyteller. And then naturally, as I got older and became a punk in my teenage years, as one often does if they're going to fall into the punk rock subculture and that lifestyle and love, I discovered Black Flag. And with Black Flag, I saw in the liner notes, basically lead singer Henry Rollins, and I was like, no fucking way. So, I fell in love with Black Flag, and in the early 2000s, once I graduated high school and was going to college, when I was staying in a dorm, the college TV had access to the independent film channel, and Henry had a talk show called the Henry Rollins Show, which was full of these recurring bits and segments and such. And so that's before I get too far ahead of myself in describing all of the various things that Henry does, because he does a lot, and that's kind of his point. Henry meant a lot to me because I could see a lot of myself in him. He has a book publishing company called 21361, which is his birth date. And in it, he puts out a lot of books. Some of them are his own, some of them are other people that he's influenced by, or new writers and such that he's met. They range from journals to poetry to short stories and editorial pieces and what have you. So I started reading Henry's books once I realized that his books were available. And the very first one of his books that I bought, I got at a secondhand bookstore, and it was called Do I Come Here Often? And much like everything else, when I get a book that's part of a series, it's the middle book. It's not the first book or the third book. It's book number two. And this is from a trilogy called the Black Coffee Blues book. And in it, again, it's Henry telling stories. These are journal entries. These are poems. These are observations that he has, or rants about the way things are in the world, whether it be politics or culture or just society in general. And I just, like I said, I took to reading these, and I couldn't get enough. And I have a lot of his books. I've listened to a lot of his spoken word shows on CD, and some of them are streaming on Spotify. And I have vinyl of some of his really early talking shows from like the mid 1980s, when he was this young man fresh out of leaving Black Flag. I still remember the Family Man LP that Black Flag put out, where side one were some of Henry's poems, and side two were these instrumental tracks where the rest of the band was just like fucking ripping. I'm not getting into why I really took to Henry Rollins, because again, I kind of feel like the output of work that he put out is integral to this. I really fell in love with the work of Henry Rollins in the life that he has led, because like I said, I could see a lot of myself in it. I won't go into any of my personal details, but Henry Rollins was a young, misunderstood man, very alienated, did not come from a great parental situation, did not come from a great teenage situation. He went to a military school, which made him feel even more ill at ease with the world. And he's a guy that, when he found punk rock, it made him realize that he could take some of that aggression that he had always turned into himself out into the world instead. A lot of Henry's work is about alienation and isolation and feeling like an outcast. A lot of his stuff that I think about often, a lot of his writing I think about often. One of the recurring lines that I go to about myself and about other people when I've talked to them about this is, when they're feeling kind of on the outs, is that, once you're on the outside, a part of you is always going to be out there. Meaning that once you have felt like you are an outcast or felt like an other, normal people are always going to perplex you a little bit. Henry does a really good job talking about this in his works. He talks about feeling like an alien and feeling like people are speaking in a language that he doesn't understand. And that really took to me, because I grew up in a place where there were a lot of really normal people and people who I was friends with, and yet they didn't really know me, and they didn't know any of the things I'd been going through or was currently going through at the time. But I had Henry to talk about these very same feelings and thoughts. And Henry is older than I am. Henry Rollins is in his 60s now. He's turning almost, I think he's gonna be 65. 60, he's gonna be 64 or 65 soon. His birthday is actually coming up in a few days. And because of that, and I don't know, and it's one of those things I'm sure he's heard a lot, but I'll just say it for the sake of the podcast. Henry has laid a groundwork of life for me. There's a path for me that Henry laid out, and I can follow it through 40 years of material, spoken word shows, music, books, journal entries, the television show. The Black Coffee Blues books were written in the ni early 90s, and this is Henry in his 30s, his period of time that I'm in right now, and sort of like navigating adulthood. Because in reality, like, as I've gotten older, I've realized your 20s are this weird trial run where you're broke, but you have independence for the first time, and you gotta work because you gotta eat. And then you get to your 30s, and your 30s are just different because you are able to establish yourself a bit more. You're able to focus in on things and have free time because you've already gotten into the flow of like a healthy work-life balance, essentially. And the midlife crisis or the existential dread or the ennui, whatever it is you want to call it, being able to read the works of this man who I feel I identify with and who I've always kind of aspired to be in a sense, has given me a sort of sense of comfort. I've been fortunate enough to see Henry live 3 times now. I've seen 2 of his speaking shows, and he did one show where he was showing off his photography and telling the stories behind them, which I guess is a speaking show also. And the last one I went to was in 2022. I ended up buying like VIP tickets for it to meet him afterwards. And we're still in the COVID pandemic, so it was the meet and greet was very like walk up to Henry, look him in the eye, say something to him, take a photo and leave. We couldn't shake hands, couldn't do anything else but that. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would have wanted anything more than that. There is why risk the possibility of making an ass out of myself in front of my hero? I'd rather him be this mythological being in front of me than this person that I had the opportunity to meet and embarrass myself in front of. So when I did, meet Henry, who's like 5'6", so he's shorter than me, which is a really funny experience because in all of his works, he's always referred to how like the short, angry man, as he called himself. It was really interesting to see that in person. So I did get a chance to kind of look him in the eye and just say, thank you for being a constant part of my life. So I thought it would be interesting instead of continuing to gush about Henry and his works, because I could really talk all day about like the speaking shows or the music that he put out, either as a member of Black Flag or his own band, Rollins Band, or his political beliefs and his view of life and justice and work, because work is such an important part to him, as you can tell just from the output of stuff he made over the last 40 years. Henry does not stop. He talks about it because if he stops, he's going to be depressed. He's a solitary individual. He says home is this place where bills collect and he puts his records in. And when he's not on tour, he gets to go there for a while and listen to music and work out in his garage slash gym. And then he gets lonely or he gets restless and depressed. And it's time for him to go out on another world tour or pick a country he's never been to and fly out there with not much of a plan. And I kind of admire that. I don't have to do Large Old Cup, and I don't have to do my other podcasts with my friends, and I don't have to put in a lot of work to run games that I put on for friends. I don't have to do all that stuff. It's extra. It's a lot of work sometimes. It eats hours. I don't have to go to the gym if I didn't want to. I could lead a life of leisure like an old Regency man and sit about and long about the existentialism and life and eat, nice expensive cheeses. But that's not for me, I have to work because if I don't do it, then I feel like I've accomplished nothing. Time is a very finite thing. It goes fast. There is no before, there's your past and then there's the future, and you don't know how much of that you got, so you might as well put it to use. And that's again one of those beliefs I picked up from Henry. There's no such thing as free time. There's no such thing as future time. There's just go time. Some say with that would be unhealthy. And I will tell you that, it's easy to burn yourself out, but like if that's what you need to get through life and through the day, then by all means do it. I don't think there's any shame in working. I don't think there's any shame in applying yourself in making your days go by quick, by being productive, in having things accomplished. Large Old Cup is something I have to do because this is my chosen art form, is talking to you and doing these spoken word bits where maybe it's funny and maybe it's not. Maybe you pick up something from this and maybe you don't. It's that belief that art is my attempt to reach out and communicate in a language that's familiar to me, hoping that somebody else can hear it and return it. So what I thought would be interesting, I was flipping through the pages of Do I Come Here Often, which again is the very first of Henry's books that I picked up, and I found an excerpt that I wanted to read because of how it tied into the last few episodes. And it's sort of serendipitous in that sense. So this is from a journal entry that Henry wrote in 1996 while he was traveling in Spain. Several hours ago, I met David Lynch for lunch at his hotel. I'd done a small part in his most recent film, Lost Highway. It was an honor to work for him. What a brilliantly cool guy. He had been in New York and New Jersey all week with Angelo Badalamenti working on music for the film. I met him outside the elevator. His hair looked like a tornado. His eyes were wide and he was smiling. "Hey man, good deal." We went downstairs to eat. I could not help but ask him a lot of questions. When he was describing mixing music into a movie scene and how when it works, how amazing it is, the passion with which he described this in the intensity of his hand gestures were inspiring as hell. That and the smile that came with it was really amazing. It's so great to meet people who are older than you, who've been doing what they love for longer than you have, and finding out that they still love it with burning intensity. It makes me check myself. It's a good reference point. People like David are the real thing. He's going to be working on the film for several more months, nonstop, until it's finished. We talked about surrealism, media, and music. I told him about hanging out at Sun Studios in Memphis a few weeks ago and how cool it was to stand in the same place where Jerry Lee Lewis recorded all his hits. David is way into music. So, like I said, I saw that and I just thought, all right, I have to at least read that excerpt to you because it is a it's about the intensity and in being creative, and also about David Lynch, and I just thought that was way too good to pass up on. So what's funny about that is the way that Henry described talking with David and how inspiring it was to meet somebody older than him who were still passionate about the things that they loved with a burning intensity. That is how I feel about Henry. And that is that thing I was saying earlier about how it feels like there's this path that he has set down for me in life. There's this path that has been beaten down and trudged through, and the weeds had been cut down 15 or so years ago. And now it's my turn to follow in behalf of it and clear the path. Hopefully, maybe for someone following up behind me. Maybe there's some kid out here who one day is going to find Large Old Cup and for whatever reason hit play and hear my voice and hear my stories and sense a bit of himself in it and something he wants to follow up on to follow the things that he's passionate about. I don't think that's a silly thing. I don't think it's egomaniacal to feel that way. I just think it would be an interesting recurring cycle or a circle. I've had a lot of really nice and positive reviews about the show as of late. It's interesting to see people take to aspects of it the way they have. You know, the sign off has re ha there's been multiple people who've reached out to me and commented about the sign off and how much they like it and how they find it inspiring. And I talked about this last time, but I've gotten some more feedback lately on it, and it's still like it's so surreal and nice to feel like my work has done something for someone. And like I said, that's the whole point of art, right? That attempt to communicate in a language that makes sense and see if people pick it up. And I've had some people pick it up, and honest to God, it's the most accomplished I think I've felt in a long time. So another to kind of go back to Henry. A lot of Henry's stuff based off of his background and his life before, as of late, essentially, has been about how angry he was. You know, he was an angry young man in his 20s, and you can hear that in a lot of his talking shows from that period of time, and when he was in his 20s, as well as his music in Black Flag. When he's in his 30s, he's still angry, but that anger is not as simmering on the outside as so much as it's smoldering on the inside. And that anger began to cool off a little bit in his 40s. But at that point, he's got, the Bush administration in the office in the 2000s, and a show on IFC featured a regular occurring segment called Teeing Off, where he'd go on a rant about something that was in the current events. You know, and then he really began to cool off in his 50s, and now in his 60s, he kind of comments about like how he's not necessarily that same angry person anymore. Like he seems like there's still stuff that upsets him. He's still plugged in to the world. I mean, that was one of the things that in his last show that he talked about that I found the most interesting was talking about how right now the politics of the world are being decided by the baby boomers, who are, well, we'll say the bad baby boomers, because we don't want to lob everyone in together. That's not good. These spoiled rich senators and politicians who have been in control for way too long, and some of them are in their 80s and 90s now, still deciding the future of the world for people who are half their age, if not even more so. So he was talking about how we just have to ride it out a little longer, and then that generation will die down, and maybe, just maybe, we will be in a position where the younger generation finally gets a say in the life that they're going to lead. I don't want to get too much into current events. It's a fucked up world out there right now. There's a lot of really not good stuff going on, and we know this to be true. You know, we have a lot of people blaming innocuous things for horrific things, you know, like, yeah, we aren't going to talk about it because we got really worked up last week. But it is interesting to have heard this message, essentially of hope, from a guy who, in his 20s, there's concert footage of Black Flag where he's literally threatening to murder somebody in the crowd with his microphone stand. And for good reason. Henry has told many stories about how people would burn him with cigarettes and spit on him and stuff. And occasionally, you got to check a motherfucker for stuff like that. You cannot let people get away with shit like that. And I guess another thing about Henry that I really enjoy is Henry is an unashamed fanboy. There are multiple like clips from his talking shows where he talks about how he loses all of his cool when he meets a hero. Like he told the story of meeting David Bowie and how like that was such a surreal moment for him. And he talked about meeting, like getting to be near Debbie Harry from Blondie. And I think one of my favorite stories was he talked about he played like on a festival with the Damned, and like how he was a big fanboy of the Damned. Which again, if you've been listening to the show, a lot of a lot of change that I've been trying to put into my life in the last few months has come from a damn song that hit me in the right place at the right time, like a bolt of lightning. And I just remember he was talking about like following them from from one room into the next because they were all heading in the same direction. And he had to stop and go, Captain Sensible, touch that doorknob. The doorknob was touched by Captain Sensible. And like it was just fun to see that somebody who has accomplished a lot and somebody who has been working in the public eye for a long time, who still is completely shameless in his enjoyment and love of other people's work. So the song recommendation of the week, obviously probably should be Damaged by Black Flag, because that's where the opening of the show comes from, right? We'll do that. We'll do two though. So we're gonna hit you with, well, maybe more than two. We'll hit you with a Black Flag song with Damaged. I'll also hit you with another Black Flag song called My War. That's a great one too. Just it really gets you into how chaotic and fast and loud Black Flag could be during their heyday. Black Flag still exists, by the way. It just exists without Henry. And Henry was not the first singer of Black Flag. There were more before him. He's just not associated with them so much, if at all. I mean, no, not at all. But anyway, the second song I'm going to recommend, third, I guess you could say, is going to be from the follow-up band that Henry was part of called the Rollins Band, which they consider themselves, I think they were called like alternative metal. But like it was basically just Henry combining a lot of his favorite sounds. Like there was the aggression of like hardcore and punk rock, but they also had like a real heavy bass beat like funk, and they played around with sounds, and they were a little more experimental. And this is going to be a maybe a controversial Rollins Band pick, because I feel like people will go to Liar because that's like a poem that Henry wrote over like a song bit, so it's kind of like a talking song. Or they would go with Low Self-Opinion because that was like their first big hit. I'm going to hit you from something from an album that I think even Henry refers to as a failure, which the album is called Come In and Burn. But this is a song called The End of Something, and it really captures the that weird mesh of style and sounds in the Rollins Band. But The End of Something is a song about like a guy abandoning a relationship. And then, as the song progresses, realizing that, like, nope, I fucked myself up instead. That was a bad move. But there was some intensity there. I think another thing, I got rid of Instagram. So if you're following Large Old Cup on Instagram, it's not there anymore. I'm going over into Blue Sky because so far Blue Sky is not tied to fucking billionaire playboys who've decided they're going to fuck over the world for their own gain. So find Large Old Cup on Blue Sky. I'm going to link a video that I saw like 16 years ago that was like a Henry bio, but End of Something is like played and talked through throughout it while Henry's reading one of his very famous poems. But that's gonna probably do it for the show today. I hope that you're all being recklessly brave and delusionally confident and hopelessly optimistic. I hope you find your hero out there and you understand like what a healthy hero relationship can be like. Goodbye.